It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is time for another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. The All-Star Game has wrapped up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Joining me here on the Jazz Notes podcast is Jeremiah Jensen. Jeremiah, did you enjoy watching All-Star Weekend? Is that a loaded question?
Enjoy. Did I enjoy it?
Okay.
I guess you can tell by my reaction that
you answered it.
It was all right. I mean, it is what it is. Have we lowered our expectations so that we can just accept the All-Star Weekend for what it is and not expect anything great?
I guess so. I mean, I remember as a kid, I almost feel like this thing is for kids now and for players. Because
oh, yeah.
I think the kids really enjoy it. I remember enjoying it as a kid, thinking, this is so cool. This is back in like the mid-80s. I just really loved it. But as it kept going on and going on, it just seems like a glorified exhibition where these guys kind of go out and they show their stuff. And they're not going to really show a lot of defense. That would have been really fascinating to have Rudy Gobert in that game because we know what Rudy can do on the defensive end. But, you know, how much would he have done against some of those guys once he actually gets into that game?
Yeah, it's not as competitive from a standpoint of playing fundamental basketball. I think, you know, you see in the fourth quarter things kind of tighten up and Team LeBron got caught fire there and made a big push like they wanted to win. But they don't play defense for three quarters. It's like a glorified dunk contest. It's actually more entertaining from that aspect than the real dunk contest. The bounce pass from Steph to Giannis was pretty cool. That's what I'll always remember about it. But it's not the same that it was when we were kids. I remember the great All-Star games of the late 80s and early 90s, and it was just different back then, a different competitive nature. East wanted to beat West. Players weren't buddy-buddy like they are today. Now all these players, they share same agents. And they, I don't know, it's just a different world we live in basketball-wise. It's changed the dynamic of All-Star Weekend. You're absolutely right. I mean, there's a reason why J. Cole's performing at halftime. They're certainly trying to target a young demographic and a certain demographic, and I guess it doesn't include us anymore.
Yeah.
So, although J. Cole's fine, whatever. I'm just saying that they certainly are trying to market and tap into a certain audience, and that's great. It works for the league, but... for those of us that are nostalgic and long for the days of those All-Star games with Jordan and Magic and Barkley and Karl Malone and John Stockton, those days are over.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy. I really don't want to be that guy that says,
I know.
Yeah, back in my day it was better, because I don't want to be that
These
guy.
These guys can get off my lawn.
But I just don't enjoy it. I tuned in to the first 3 minutes of the Rising Stars Challenge just because I thought, well, I want to watch Donovan Mitchell play.
Yeah.
And... I couldn't make it through 3 minutes, and I thought, okay, I'm good. And I just shut it off, and I thought, I'll catch the highlights later.
It's the same
thing
3 minutes in. You're getting the same thing the whole time, and there's just no investment in it from a basketball standpoint. It's just all an exhibition. The dunk contest always used to be some draw, but you know, it feels like we've seen everything. And although I will give Hamidou Diallo some credit for the dunk over Shaq, that was pretty cool. That's one I'll remember. So like I mentioned here, there's like two moments I remember from the whole weekend, but overall it's probably not something I'm going to remember forever.
The only thing that I would say was memorable for me, since I hardly watched any of it. Sorry fans out there. I know I'm a basketball fan, but the All-Star game just really doesn't do much for me.
I don't think we're alone, though, to be honest with you.
Even though I will have to say the one thing I like about All-Star Weekend, I didn't watch it because I was doing something else, but this is the part that intrigued me. I always love the three-point competition.
Yeah.
Just because it seems like it really hasn't changed much There have been a few tweaks here and there, but it really hasn't changed much. But it's just basically who's the best shooter in this format. I'm not saying the best shooter of all time or anything.
Yeah.
And it just surprised me when I saw that Joe Harris won. So that was when I saw that on my phone, because I was doing something else. I'm like, oh. And so I hurried and I clicked on and I looked, and then I went on YouTube and I checked out the highlights. And that was still the most intriguing thing for me. I wish we could have more moments like that for the All-Star game. But All-Star game's over. We're not going to sit here and be old men and talk about that the whole time. 25 games left of the season, starting this Friday, Utah Jazz taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we're going to talk about, this is going to be our most intriguing episode because, well, we're just men who are so intriguing or something like that. Or we're going to talk about some intriguing topics, especially when it comes to things. And when we get done with this, I'm sure you're going to say this at the very end.
Fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. Fascinating. That's interesting that you guys brought that up. So the three topics I want to cover are most intriguing player for the Utah Jazz, most intriguing game for the Jazz, but then at the end, most intriguing team that you're just interested in outside, just as an NBA basketball fan, outside of the Utah Jazz. Which team intrigues you in the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference? Let's start first with the most intriguing player. Now, Jeremiah said you had four choices here. I really don't care which one you pick, but I thought of three right off. Dante Exum, Jay Crowder, Rudy Gobert for different reasons, but then I said, you know, you can pick any player you want. I'll start out first. I'm going to say Dante Exum is the most intriguing player, and I kind of cheated. Those first two were the two that I am probably most intrigued with. One, Dante Exum, because I want to see if he can play extended minutes, not get injured, and be that guy that could potentially take over for Ricky Rubio if Ricky decides not to sign with the Jazz or the Jazz decide to move on. I want to see what he can do these last, if he plays in this Friday's game, 25, 24, however many games, and then into the playoffs. I just kind of want to see how he plays and see if he can eventually become that starter. You can talk about the injuries all you want, but can he be that guy that the Jazz can rely on? I'll say Jay Crowder's kind of number two right there. Can he be that guy that eventually moves into the starting lineup as a small ball four? I'm not sure that's going to happen, but he's probably the second most intriguing player to me. What about you? Who are the two most intriguing players for you for the Utah Jazz?
Well, you took my Dante Exum. I was gonna certainly pick him, number one, because we haven't seen him for a while, and adding him to the lineup here, I think, will give the Jazz a boost during the last 25 games. I think they've missed him terribly, especially in matchups like against the Rockets and other teams, where you kind of need somebody that can go ISO, that can defend in the wing and the perimeter, and that can create his own shot and get to the hoop. Dante does a lot of nice things with his length and his athleticism. I think they've missed that, and I really want to see what this team looks like when Dante's healthy and at his best. And there's been moments this year where we've seen that, but it was up and down, and it looked like he finally was starting to get there when he sprained the ankle. So hopefully he's back on Friday, and we can see what he does. But I'm actually going to go with Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Now, why I'm saying that is the Jazz, I think that this is crunch time, and you're down in the last 25 games, and we saw what Donovan did last year towards the end of the season. As the stakes got higher, he was up to it. He was ready for that, which was amazing as a rookie to be able to raise his game a level each and every time it was needed. What he did in that Oklahoma City series was unbelievable. A game six closeout, the way he played, 38 points. Some of the things he did in the Houston series, although he having to be thrust in that point guard position made it difficult for him, but you saw in that point, I believe it was game four, where he just took over the game and played so well and really showed everybody why he looks like he's going to be a star in this league. Now we're going into this final stretch of the season where Donovan's had to adjust to a lot of teams game planning for him and for him specifically and trying to find ways to make things difficult for him. As the season goes along, he's done a good job adjusting. Now I want to see him become more consistent and really take over and really find another gear. And I know that's a lot to ask of him. Maybe that's unfair, but that's how he responded last year. And so, and I'm sure Quinn feels the same way I do, is maybe you're comfortable asking him to do that because you're going to ask him to do that in the future anyway. This is the man. He's the face of your franchise. He's your star moving forward. Give him the keys of the car. Let him drive it. You know what I mean? Let's see what he can do this last stretch and see where he can take the Jazz here. And if he can elevate his game to another level, that's why I think that he's the most intriguing player on the Utah Jazz for the last 25 games. And I'll go Dante Exum 1A. But Donovan it's going to be interesting to watch what he does in these last 25 games and in the playoffs.
I didn't want to make any excuses here. To me, it almost seems obvious. It's kind of like I said, Donovan almost seems like – Donovan and Rudy, to me, seem like the two most intriguing players because they're the best players, and you want to see how they do on the biggest stage. And maybe that's why I decided not to go with them, because I wanted to see which ancillary player would be the other most intriguing player. But I think you're absolutely right. The other one I'd pick would be – the other name I put out there was Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. I want to see how he plays these last 25 games. He got the All-Star snub. We kind of see how he played right after that. He didn't play as well against the Phoenix Suns as maybe we had liked to have seen him played. And I want to see what he does, what kind of effort he brings these last 25 games into the playoffs. That's the other guy. I'm still going to stick with Dante and then Jay Crowder. That's just me. But I agree with you that Donovan, to me, he's always the most intriguing player for the Jazz because of the kind of personality he is, the kind of player he is, the kind of hope he brings to this team, and the hope he brings to this fan. So I can't really argue with you a lot on that one. So I will agree with you. Okay, most intriguing game, Jeremiah. Most intriguing game. Now, I picked out five games, but again, you can pick another one if you want. Jazz at Thunder, of course, this Friday, first game after the All-Star break. That game, national TV game. Another national TV game on Thursday, the 28th, so a week from this Thursday, Jazz are going to be playing at Denver. And then I picked three other random games out there. Bucks are going to be playing at Jazz not too long after that on March 2nd. And then I go clear into April to find Jazz at Lakers, third to last game of the season. Nuggets at Jazz, second to last game of the season. Which game, if any of those or any other games, is there a game or a team that you are most intrigued to see the Jazz play as we go into these last 25 games?
Yeah, I think I'll switch up a little bit. I'll go, there's three teams that they're going to be playing that I think are most crucial. Two games against OKC, two games against the Nuggets. Those are four division games. And now there's could be tiebreakers coming down to the end here with some of these teams. They got a long way to go to catch OKC and Denver. I don't know if they have enough time. I don't know if they can do it. But if they're going to, they'll probably need a tiebreaker in the process. So these division games hold a lot of weight. And also, I think those four games between the Thunder and the Nuggets, those four games are the toughest they have left. I think their schedule is so easy. I'm looking at it. And I think those are the only four games where they might not be favored. Maybe at L.A. with a healthy LeBron if it gets to that point. But they're going to be favoring all these games. I mean, they're playing the junk of the Eastern Conference. They're playing Phoenix twice. And the Clippers are, you know, they're heading the other direction. Sacramento's up and coming, but I think they can handle them. And Memphis is tanking. New Orleans twice. They're tanking. So, you know, the Milwaukee game obviously is tough, but it's an Eastern Conference team and they're home. But I look at those division matchups. Those are the games that I think are going to make or break the Jazz down the stretch, and I want to see them at least split those, if not win those. You know, I guess I would say what, three or four, maybe that would be pretty cool. That's a lot to ask again, but if the Jazz are going to make this run and they're going to be a factor in the Western Conference race, then they need to win some of those games. And there's no more schedule excuses, no more this and that. You have the All-Star break. It's go time. You know, if Dante's back, the team's healthy, go show us that Dennis Lindsay made the right choice by bringing the whole thing back and by sticking with this team at the trade deadline. Go out and prove it, guys. Show us this chemistry that you talk about all the time. Show us on the court. I want to see that. Beat some of these teams. Beat Denver. Beat Oklahoma City. Go beat them on the road on Friday. That would be pretty big. And that would get everyone's attention and show everybody that here come the Jazz again. And I think they need that, too. They need to feel like they have that confidence rolling in this last few games of the schedule as they try to make a playoff run. So I would circle those two. You know, throw in the Lakers games as well. Those will obviously be intriguing. And I think the Lakers are still going to be a factor in the West. Everyone writing them off is doing that a little prematurely. LeBron's going to find a way. But those games against the Thunder and the Nuggets are the games that I look at as the most important.
I would probably say the Nuggets is the team I'm looking forward to the Jazz playing the most, just because it was so fun watching those two teams play here in Salt Lake not too long ago. And after we got done with that game, all I kept thinking is, this is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter who wins, both these teams are fun to watch. They've got good young players. They've got a few savvy veterans on their teams, but they are just a lot of fun to watch go up and down the floor, play defense, play offense. You know, I just enjoy that one. That one seems obvious. Maybe I pick the other two, and I'm mainly speaking about Jazz at Lakers. The reason why I picked that game, third last game of the season, is all I can think is maybe the Jazz actually have a chance to eliminate the Lakers from the postseason that late in the season. Does that hold some intrigue? Yeah,
absolutely.
That holds a lot of intrigue if it comes down to that.
Yes, sir.
And I picked the Bucks and Jazz. That one seems obvious.
Yeah.
Because who would not want to watch the Jazz matchup with Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah.
I mean, he is such a phenomenal player right now. That would just be a lot of fun. And to watch how that Milwaukee Bucks team plays against the Jazz. I mean, this is a team that could actually end up in the NBA Finals. So anytime the Jazz play a team like that, maybe that's why I'm intrigued. But those are that's the reason I put the other two. I looked at an Eastern Conference road swing that I looked at there, and I'm just sitting there going, meh, I think the Jazz could win all four of those games.
They should win all four of them.
They're not good.
No.
So those are the games. And Oklahoma City, of course, that one holds intrigue too, just because of Paul George and Russell Westbrook and these two teams playing each other. But this is a different team. I'm still going to go Denver.
Okay.
Those two games are probably the two most intriguing games to me. The one that's coming up next week, and then that second-to-last game, because that could have some major playoff implications. Maybe not for the Nuggets, but maybe for the Jazz. I don't know. But it's just fun watching these two teams play. And who knows? Maybe they end up playing each other in the playoffs, too, where you get more fantastic basketball. Okay, most intriguing team the rest of the season outside of the Utah Jazz. Eastern Conference, I put down five teams. Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, Pacers. The reason why I put the Pacers in there is because right now they're in the third position. I don't think they hold it without Victor Oladipo. But I'm still intrigued to see how they do, because they're the team that reminds me the most of the Utah Jazz in some ways, because they don't have one big star right now. They have a lot of good players, and in fact, their best star is out for the rest of the season. So I'm intrigued with them, but I'll be honest, not that much. So out of those five teams, which team intrigues you the most, Jeremiah?
So Eastern Conference. I'm going to go an East and a West team.
Okay, that's
that?
I was going to say the four Western teams. I was going to put Nuggets, Blazers, Lakers, Kings.
Okay.
But you can name any
so
of them off if you want.
Yeah. I got one of those. So I'm going to go Boston Celtics in the East. There's a lot of drama with that team. A lot of drama for whatever reason. Issues in the locker room. they're not on the same page. Kyrie's going to leave in free agency. Gordon Hayward, what's up with him? Young guys not getting along with Kyrie. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on with that team. But they have so much talent. And I wonder if in the playoffs, Coach Stevens finds a way to get them dialed in and they make another run. Because Milwaukee's incredible, but I don't know if Milwaukee's ready to take the next step. Toronto, you just have a hard time believing in them. And then the Pacers without Oladipo, I mean, it's a nice story. They're hanging in there, but I don't see that having longevity in a playoff series. And then the Sixers, again, I don't think that's a team that's ready. And I think they could lose in the first round. And they might be playing the Celtics.
Okay.
So, well,
okay,
I mean,
okay.
They're going to be playing. We're looking at a Celtics Sixers series right now. And obviously, you know, I think the Pacers could slip a bit and get into that 4-5 slot. And either the Sixers or Celtics could jump up. And that would obviously have an impact on my prediction here with the Sixers. But in a Sixers Celtics series, I'm taking Celtics. And
I understand.
And now, can you understand why I'm intrigued by the Boston Celtics now?
Is
we've seen the Bucks rise, the Raptors added Marc Gasol, and you know, Kawhi's interesting there, and then obviously the Sixers have the flair and they went big at the trade deadline and Jimmy Butler and all that. But at the end of the day, I look at the Celtics and they were so close last year, and they bring all these guys back. I just feel like they might be able to figure it out when it really matters in the playoffs. So that's my team in the East. And you're going to like this because my West team is the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
And this is why I'm so intrigued by this team. Right now they're in the second spot in the Western Conference, and you're looking at the West, and you see Oklahoma City, and you see the Rockets, you see the Jazz, you see the Blazers, even the Lakers way back, you know, and the Spurs. And you're thinking, okay, are the Nuggets better than all of those teams? I don't know. But right now they're that way record-wise. And this is the thing about the Nuggets that people need to pay attention to, is their schedule. They're kind of the opposite of the Jazz. They had a pretty easy schedule, and they built up a lot of wins early on. But their end schedule is one of the toughest in the NBA. It is brutal. And so they're going to be really tested. I think right out of the gate they're tested. I don't have it in front of me. I should have pulled it up. But they are going to have a schedule challenge. And the margin for error in the West, as we know, is thin. So how many – like if they go on a 4- or 5-game losing skid, all of a sudden they lose a spot to OKC, and all of a sudden Portland and Houston and the Jazz are nipping at their heels. Can the Denver Nuggets hold on to that number 2 spot? Are they that good? Are they as good as they've played so far this season? We're going to find out, and that's why I think they're so intriguing. They got these great young players. Jokic is a star, and Jamal Murray's terrific, and they've got a great cast of characters there, and their coach, I think, is tough, and he's a good fit for them, and they've really got a good thing going on there. And, man, like you, I love that Jazz-Nuggets game. That had something to it that you don't always feel in a regular season game with other Jazz opponents. That Jazz-Nuggets game, a Jazz-Nuggets series would be fun. Right now, the Jazz would play the Thunder in the first round if the playoffs started today, which they don't, but I think we could all admit that that would be very intriguing. A rematch from last year would be a lot of fun, but my prediction is the Thunder overtake the Nuggets, and whether the Jazz overtake the Rockets and Blazers will remain to be seen, but a 3-6 Nuggets Jazz series is a pretty good possibility, and I'm on board with that. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a closet Nuggets fan, because I'm not a Nuggets fan, but they're just so much fun to watch. And after they missed the playoffs last year, to see them in the second spot, and you're probably right, they probably are going to drop back, but it's just kind of fun watching a team that didn't quite make it last year, maybe have some unheralded players, but good players on their team. And they're just, to me, they're just a lot of fun to watch. They're not a team that's going to slow it down. It's going to be like, ugh, this is so bad to watch because they figured it out. Well, these are the players we have. They figured out who their players are, and they are playing to their strengths. They're not a good defensive team. Well, I think they would even admit that. Yeah. But they're playing good enough to be where they are. Real quickly, they're going to play the Celtics on March 18th. They still get to play at the Warriors on April 2nd. They get to play against Portland on April 5th, and then they're going to turn around and play in Portland on April 7th, and then they're going to play the Jazz in Salt Lake City on April 9th before ending the season April 10th against the Timberwolves, who could make a run towards the playoffs, too.
They're not out of it, right?
No. So you bring up a good point. I would probably say the Nuggets are my most intriguing team in the West, besides the Lakers. The only reason I picked the Lakers is, again, it's the LeBron.
We all love drama.
It's the LeBron factor, and can he make the playoffs? In the East, I'm going to go with the Sixers.
Really?
I like what you said about the Celtics, and I totally agree because of everything that's surrounding that. But I'm going to go with the Sixers because they went big, and I want to see if it ends up big or if it ends up in a bomb. That's why I'm intrigued most by the Sixers, because their starting lineup looks great on paper, and they looked really good the first few games that they had all those guys on the floor. But I want to see how long it lasts and if Jimmy Butler explodes in the playoffs or something.
Imagine
like that.
If they lose in the first round and they lose Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris in free agency.
Oh, my goodness.
And they gave up everything. They went all in on it.
Oh, heartbreaking for the Philadelphia fans. Of course,
they've
dealt with the process, so there you go. All right, this has been the most intriguing episode here on the Jazz Notes Podcast. Jeremiah, thanks a lot for hanging out with me. I appreciate
Always
it.
Always fun.
All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Make sure you download, subscribe. Give us a rating. Let us know what we can do better. We'll talk to you soon.